We're on holy ground this morning, standing in his presence, longing that God would speak to us, longing to meet with him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is relevant to us today, speaking truth into our lives, where there's so much lying, so much deceit that we hear in the media, in so many places. We thank you that today we stand in your holy presence and we listen to truth. We want to hear your truth this morning. We want you to speak to us through your word. And so we pray for Graham as he comes to bring your word to us in just a moment, that Father, you'd anoint him, fill him with your spirit, that he would challenge us this morning through the words that you've laid on his heart, that we together might grow in unity, grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, grow closer together. Father, come. Come speak to us, we pray. We pray for ourselves that we might have ears to hear, hearts ready to respond to all that you want to say to us. Thank you, God, that your holy word speaks into our lives. Holy God, speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I invite you to sit down. If you have a Bible or your phone, do turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We've been in Ephesians for the last 4 weeks now. And now we've jumped into Ephesians chapter 6. Hasn't God been speaking to us through this wonderful letter, this wonderful book? We're going to read from from verse 10 of chapter 6, titled The Armour of God. Finally, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will be fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." That's our prayer for you, Graham, as well, as you come to bring God's word, that you preach fearlessly to us this morning.
Thank you, Kay. Here in these verses, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through to 20, we come to the fourth of seven in our series titled Together. This means that we're right slap bang wallop in the middle. We're strategically placed. And I think it's in the middle for a very good reason. For I put it to you that without this together subject, both the three that we have already looked at, together in unity, to set together in serving, together in growing, along with the three that are still to come, together in caring and giving and witnessing, it would all be so incredibly more difficult to achieve without this one. We're looking at together in praying, It is vital in our life if we are to maintain all these disciplines and devotions and everything that's part of our Christian life. If we're to continue to be close to God and to one another, this is important. And do you know what? Paul agrees. Because notice, first of all, of what is most important. Of most importance, verse 10. This is how he begins this passage of Scripture. Finally. Finally. It's not just that he's reached his last point. We preachers can do that sometimes, can't we? We say, finally, halfway through, or hopefully not. Finally, it's not just that we've reached the last point, no. This two-word phrase, translated finally, was a phrase commonly used in the Greek manuscripts of the day. It was used to depict something extremely important. Finally, of great importance. So important that it is placed at the very end. So the idea is that if the reader remembers nothing else in the letter, he will at least be more likely to remember this last thing. So we can translate this idea in the following way. It's as if Paul is saying, when he simply uses this word finally, so in conclusion, I have saved the most important issue of this letter until the end. So that if you remember nothing else I've said, will you remember this? I want this to stand out in your mind. So finally is not just here is the last thing. But now we come, says Paul, to the most important matter. Now, this is quite remarkable, actually, when you think about it, isn't it? Paul has spoken about all kinds of amazing and wonderful things up to this point. The election of saints, the adoption as children of God, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the end times, the power of God that is available for every believer. He's talked about his eternal plan and purposes, about being filled with the Spirit, about the importance of what we've already looked at, unity, serving, growing. And of course, there's all those verses in the previous two chapters we haven't looked at, talk about how to behave in different relationships one with another. All that Paul has spoken about, incredible, amazing, wonderful, joyful, challenging, encouraging. But now he says, finally. You've heard everything else that I've said, everything else that I've written, but here is what is most important. So we ask the question, what is important? What is this finally thing that Paul is talking about? The matter of most importance is there in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And I put it to you, brothers and sisters, this morning, that that should be our default position as children of God. This is who we are. This is where we stand. Strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And the idea of the strength and the power that is referred to here contains within it the idea of dynamite. And for dynamite to explode, there's got to be a receiver. There's got to be power put into something. And we are the receivers of the power and the strength of Almighty God. Be empowered is what Paul is saying with this special touch of God's strength. Receive this inner power, this strengthening, this blessing. May I pause just for a moment and suggest that if there is anyone here this morning and you have a sense of, well, this is not where I am right now. I'm not feeling particularly strong. You may receive the strength of God this morning. And even at this moment, there are people there willing to pray with you. That you might know and experience and receive the amazing strength of God. Open your heart right now. Allow God to give you a fresh filling of what we might speak of as his explosive Holy Spirit power. And this is his desire. Can I put it to you that this is also our right? It's in fact how we should be living our life right now. But as much as God pours out his love, and we've sung about that, and his power, and we've sung about that, into our hearts, as much as he equips us to serve him, it doesn't mean that we have responsibility to act, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But here's the question. Here's the most important matter, that we might be strong in the strength and in the power of the Lord. The question now is, why is this so important? Why do you and I need to stand strong in the strength and in the power of the Lord? And the answer is found in verse 12. It's hinted at in verse 11, isn't it, about this urge to stand against the devil's schemes, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Against the rulers, against the authorities, the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's why you and I need to stand strong and firm in the strength of the Lord this morning. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. And brothers and sisters, this spiritual warfare is incredibly serious. We have to do everything we can, you and I, to shut the doors to our souls, to make sure that there is not even a little crack through which the devil might attempt to gain access. That's why this verse is so important. It gives us a clue about Satan's devices. There's a famous Puritan book, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. If you can get hold of it, it's not the easiest novel or book to read in the world, but I tell you, it's incredibly powerful. Knowing something of the fact that Satan is at work in this world and how he is at work enables us to apply more effectively the remedy against him. But look at what Paul says in verse 12. I'm not going to dwell on this too long, but it is important to know why it's important for us to be together praying. Observe the groups of evil spirits mentioned here, rulers or principalities, ranked number one, powerful evil beings, even from ancient times. There's a second group below them. He calls them authorities. These are demon spirits, if you will, with delegated authority from Satan to carry out all kinds of evil in whatever way they desire. He talks about the powers of this dark world. Boy, there's a lot of evil powers in our dark world today, isn't there? The powers of this dark world, it speaks of raw power. It's been harnessed. Been put into some kind of order. And the picture here is of young men at a military training camp being turned into a mighty army to engage in bringing chaos and disorder and evil and wickedness in our present world. And then he talks about spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. How many of us, I wonder, have truly realized how serious Satan is about damaging you and me as followers of Jesus Christ? He deals with spirits as though they are troops put in rank, as I've suggested, and file, rank and file, and he gives them commands to destroy. A powerful testimony last week was when she reminded us and encouraged us to not let the devil have a foothold. Here it is again. Do you not realize, brothers and sisters, the moment you and I put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the devil woke up as far as your life was concerned. He started right then and there to influence in all kinds of way that he possibly could to stop us from walking close with God, from experiencing the more that God has for us. And tragically, he does succeed so often. So I say to us, if either deliberately or simply through negligence, we have left gaping holes in our spirit, in our soul, through disobedience, through addiction, through wrong practices, through evil thoughts. Understand, we are beginning to give opportunity to Satan to infiltrate our lives. And know this, he will take that opportunity and he will do all he can to orchestrate our defeat. So block the hole up, friends, this morning. Whatever it might be. Whatever it is, an act of disobedience, some addiction that you're engaged with, some practice that you know before God actually isn't quite right. And what about those thoughts that come unbidden in our prayers and in our life? This is serious. That means that what we have to do is finally stand and be strong in the power and in the strength of our God. I want to tell you, dear friends, this morning, that as believers, whilst the enemy is powerful, whilst he is mighty, there's only one who is almighty. We have more authority, we have more power than the devil and all his forces when we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, when we have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us, enabling us to communicate with Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. We have the privilege of belonging to each other in the church of Jesus Christ. That is powerful, that is life-giving, that is encouraging. Know that the church of God, therefore, is loaded with power and more authority than all of Satan's forces put together. Amen. So we say there's no problem then, is there? Satan's doing his bit, but never mind. Our God is stronger, he's greater, he's better, he's more able. But there is a problem. And I think it is this, that we have failed to see that we ourselves, together, may be the army of God. And together, we're not as organized and disciplined as we ought to be. And we need to be fully engaged in applying the remedy against Satan's devices. And so we come to this important question. How can we be strong in the Lord? What must we do? And there are two things that Paul says here. The first is to put on the whole armor of God, verses 11 through to 17. And the second is verse 18, by praying. Verse 18 is our memory verse and it's our subject. Oh, I'd love to spend an hour or two talking about the armor of God, but we daren't. Our subject is praying. If we want to be truly strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, to know victory over the enemy, we need to be a people together praying. It's a great source of power to help us overcome that Jesus, in his grace, has given to us his church. Praying together. Now, I don't understand the math, but I know it's true. There is more power when 10 people pray together than if those 10 people on their own prayed. Doesn't add up in a sense. But I tell you, it works, and that's how it is. And there are examples of that, aren't there, through the New Testament. But I believe God wants to challenge us this morning, and I venture to suggest that few churches, dare I say, even ourselves, have entered fully into an understanding of and a practice of this great resource, together praying. So when we pray, we should engage in an activity that brings us face to face with Almighty God. And if we have not engaged in such an activity as we might in praying together, we'll not know the victory, we'll not know the more that God has for each one of us. So as we think more about together praying, here is our key verse. It's verse 18, and it's the memory verse. There's a memory verse, apparently, every Sunday in this series of together. This is the one for today. Remember it. And Paul begins, doesn't he? Simply says, verse 18, and pray, and pray. I love this. You see, the word pray here is the common New Testament word that is used time and time again in the Scriptures. It means towards, and it denotes a sense of closeness. So when we engage in that activity, we're coming face to face with Almighty God. We're coming into close contact with Him. So that prayer does not just become some mechanical act or some formula to follow. It is the life-giving vehicle whereby we may enjoy a close and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. There's one other idea associated with this word prayer. It isn't just about moving closer towards and engaging in close communion with God, but it contains the idea of sacrifice. It conveys the idea, and this was true many, many years ago in the Old Testament even, that someone who desired to see their prayer answered would do whatever it took to see that happen. And so they were desperately willing to surrender everything he owned or they owned in exchange for an answered prayer. We've got a response to that coming up at the end of our service. The idea of sacrifice, whereby a believer's life is yielded entirely to God. So when Paul says and pray, he is simply saying that we should move towards and we should have a sense of closeness with God, and that there should be an element of sacrifice in it. Then he says, and here's our verse, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. Pray anytime, on all occasions. Anytime there's an opportunity, no matter where you are or what you're doing, use every occasion, every season, every possible moment to pray. I'm reminded of a man who used to run a Christian bookshop in Colchester where we were living. And he was pretty useless at business, I have to say. But I tell you what he was excellent in, praying with people. And people would walk into the shop and he'd say, how are you? And they'd respond in some way or another. And he'd say, right. And he'd put their hand on their shoulder and just pray to God for them. Other people waiting to buy a book got fed up and walked out probably. But that was his ministry. It's what he did. Praying. Pray on all occasions. Every opportunity. Somebody rings you up and says, can I share something with you? Yes, let's pray with them. It's not difficult, is it? Pray on all occasions, every season, every possible moment, and it's not optional. This should be our priority. It's what Paul is suggesting. And then he says, not just pray on all occasions, but with all kinds of prayer. And to assist the church in maintaining a victorious position in life, God has given us this ability to pray, this desire to pray, this thing called prayer in all kinds of ways, whereby we might tap into the resource of God's amazing power. Without prayer, the only thing that happens is defeat. We have the prayer of faith. We have prayers of intercession. And we live in a world that is desperately hurting right now, don't we? We live in a world that is broken and fragmented. And if we focused on all that's happening in our world today, we could easily become desperate. Fearful. Prayers of faith, prayers of intercession, prayers of consecration, prayers of agreement, prayers of thanksgiving, of worship, prayers of adoration, prayers of pleading with God, prayers of confession. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. And then he says, pray in the Spirit, in tune with the Spirit of God. The Spirit who lives within us, who dwells within us, who prompts us, who leads us, who guides us. To pray in the Spirit, under His direction, with His prompting, and in agreement with the Word of God. May I ask you this morning, how often do you hear the voice of God? How often do you sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your praying? And I'm not just thinking of when we're on our own, in our own quiet time, but when together, praying as a church, did we last experience and feel that? There's that place in Acts, isn't there? It says it seemed good to the Spirit and it seemed good to us. And Paul and Barnabas were set off. Pray in the Spirit. And we're to be alert, says Paul. We're to be alert because of the enemy that we contend with, and we don't want to be ignorant of the ways in which he comes to us, but the ways in which he tests us and tries us, we need to be aware of, so that we might at that moment call out to God and ask for his strength and his power that he has promised us. We're to be alert to the enemy. But can I put it to you, there's another reason why this is put here by Paul, to be alert. In this context, it's to be alert to the power and strength of God. Be alert to what the Holy Spirit might be saying. Pray in the Spirit. Be alert. Alert to what? What the Spirit might be doing. What the Spirit might be saying. And it is this that will bring victory to us, to overcome Satan and his schemes. How many of us really know what it is to press into God? To so persist in prayer that we converse with our Heavenly Father at that level whereby we hear His voice. We receive the answers to our prayers. We know something of the will and mind and purpose of God. In that place where we can all understand that right at that moment, He is precious. Have you ever been in that place where you can feel and sense that you can almost reach out and touch Him? Like I see each of you and you see me. He's so real, He's so present. He's there. We bask in that presence. You see, we need to move beyond just bringing lists of requests because we have a relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. And we're able thereby to converse with our Heavenly Father, talking and sharing with God, pouring out our hearts to Him. Can I ask again, when did we last pray together in that way? I don't remember the last time when that was true for me. I have to confess to you this morning. I don't remember it. I remember there were times, there have been times, a number of times, when as a church and a family we've been able to press in to know God in that remarkable way. But it's been a long time. Night of prayer, half a night of prayer, several hours of prayer, where there was no agenda, no specific guidance, no organizing, just a longing to persevere in prayer, to be with our Lord and Savior, to draw near to Him. Remember, that's what praying is. Because He's so precious. Because we need His strength and we need His mighty power to defeat the enemy. You know, there's so much more of God to know than what we know. There's so much more of God to experience as a reality every day of our lives than what we have experienced up to this moment in time. What kind of relationship would it be if with your wife, your husband, your best friend, the only thing you ever spoke about and talked about was to ask them for something? Darling, can I? Will you? I mean, it's more than that, isn't it? Much, much, much more I'd fear for a relationship if that's all it ever was, demanding something. How important. I wonder how God feels about that. He looks down and he says, "It's Graham. He's coming to talk to me. Put your name there." And we do. We start talking to God. "Lord, I got this problem. Lord, I need, will you, can I?" And God, who longs to speak with us, who wants to talk with us, hears our amen and sighs. Because it's only been us bringing our requests yet again, not giving Him the time to respond. I can remember some of those nights of prayer that we used to have, and there would be half an hour, nobody would speak a word, and nobody bothered. Because the presence of God was palpable, it was felt, it was real, it was alive. Didn't need to talk. Why are we scared of silence? God wants to talk to you and me. And when we're rabbiting on, He hasn't got a chance. Has He? Don't be afraid of the silence. Together, praying is vital. It's vital for our personal walk with God. It encourages us. It's vital for us as the body of Jesus Christ. It's going to be vital for us in the exciting days of a church as we face all that is before us. As we desire victory over the enemy, as we want to see precious souls saved and born again. As we see the power of the Spirit of God, dare I suggest it, even coming in revival. Be strong in the mighty power of God. Now, the suggestion here is that God's power is available, right? It's available to us. And our together praying is going to tap into that great resource. I suggest to you, brothers and sisters, this morning, praying deeply together is as essential as our heartbeat. Praying together is as essential as our breath. We have no heartbeat. We have no breath. We have no life. Have you got that? Praying together, so vital. How well that great hymn writer James Montgomery put it when he penned the words of that great hymn, "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire." Do we live as if this is true? Do we desire this? I must tell you, more books have been written about prayer than any other theological and biblical doctrine you can think of. Many sermons have been preached about prayer, and today's another one, I'm afraid. Many courses have been written and explored and discussed and dissected, and I've led some of those as well over the years, and still we know so little about prayer. And I tell you, it will continue like that to our dying day unless we pray. That's the key. That's the secret of learning about prayer, is to pray. To pray in that simple way that Paul is suggesting here when he uses the word pray. It's moving forward to a closeness with God. And if it costs a little bit, let it be. Secret of learning about prayer is to actually pray. I believe that God wants to talk with us and walk with us, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They're wandering through the trees and they're chatting to each other and admiring the beauty of that garden. And maybe Adam whispers to Eve, "That creature there with a long neck, I think we'll call it giraffe." They talk and they share. And then behind them they hear steps approaching and they turn round and it's God. Can you imagine this? Can you picture this? God coming down to meet with Adam and Eve because he wants to talk with Adam and Eve. He wants to share things with Adam and Eve. And that's what they do. Evening after evening after evening, God coming to talk with Adam and Eve. Do you remember that beautiful picture? I think it's the end of Luke's gospel, is it? Or maybe John, doesn't matter, one of them. And Jesus is with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And there they are, they're walking, their hearts are heavy, they're desperate. Their Savior that they thought would be the Redeemer and the Rescuer of Israel is dead. But he isn't, because he comes to them, and he joins them, and he walks with them, and he talks with them, and he teaches them, and he instructs them. And then they get to their home eventually, and he breaks the bread, and they know that this is Jesus. And what do they say? Did not our hearts burn within us while he communicated with us on the way? Do you ever have that burning sensation? Wow, I've been with God today. It's the fellowship of God's people come together, knowing his presence in that way. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. And in it, he pictures a senior demon addressing the apprentice demons. He's instructing them on how to go about their business to disrupt the will and purpose and plans of God in this world. And he says to them at one point, "Now then, hope you've got your ears on because this is important. Nothing is more important. Whenever you see a child of God on their knees, whenever you see a church coming together to pray, do everything you can in your power to disrupt that. Because that is the powerhouse for the church, for the individual." Spurgeon said something about that. He was asked on one occasion, there's a great church crowd gathered in the church, and somebody said, "What's the secret of your success?" And he took them down to the boiler room. And he said, "While I'm preaching and leading the service, there's a group of people here, and they don't stop praying. It's the powerhouse of the church." What do we know about the powerhouse of the church today? Together, praying. I pray the Spirit of God will touch your heart this morning. We might reflect on these things and come before God to know his leading and his guiding. May we pray. Father, in many ways we don't know what to say or pray. Lord, I just feel the weight of your word at this moment. Lord, we need to respond. Pray that by your Spirit you will speak into our hearts and into our lives. You will show us what is right to do. For we understand that we are wrestling against principalities and powers of this dark world, Satan's demons and troops. And it's a battle. But we thank you, you have provided us with all the resources of heaven whereby we may overcome and be victorious. We might stand firm in your strength and in your power to put on the full armor and pray and pray. Draw us close to yourself, Lord, this morning. Touch our hearts, we pray. Speak into our lives. Help us to be careful to give to you and you alone all the praise and all the glory, for you alone are worthy. Amen. Mark, will you come and share a word with us, please?
Thank you, Graham. Provoked thought. In the first service, I wanted to share this, but it's right now. As a testimony, we who are older, I'm trying to be polite because I know some ladies might get offended, but we who are older sometimes feel we're redundant in church because other things we've been used in ministry, and things seem to have kind of calmed down a bit. But I want to give a quick testimony. We were in Spain, Julie and I were in Spain ministering, and we had, in Spanish, the word for grandmother and grandfather are abuela and abuelo. But what they do is they give it a diminutive. So they'll say abuelita or abuelito. Now that doesn't, literally that means little grandma or little granddad, but it doesn't mean it in a patronizing way, it means it in a relational way. They have love for them, they have respect for them, and there are deep-rooted values in Spanish culture, Catholic, family, respect for their elders. So I had this little group of abuelitas, who I loved very much, who faithfully would meet for prayer in our church weekly, diligently. And the church was in a place called La Joya, which means the pit. And it was a shopping centre. And across us was a brothel. And downstairs was a sex shop. And around us, surrounded by bars who weren't just selling beer. So you got the picture? So we're there one day, and my little group of warriors, abuelitas, are with me. We're praying. And we're praying specifically at that time for the shopping centre. And just as we're doing so, a couple of chaps came wandering past in a strange manner and decided to get out their paraphernalia and so on. I won't go into details. And do the drugs right out in front of the window where the church was. And I looked up, saw what they were doing, and I saw the irony of it. I thought, these lovely ladies are praying for this centre, and the enemy wants to go and rub our noses in it. I was incensed. So after the prayer meeting, I went over to the bar where these people had come out in the early hours of the morning and been wandering around. And I asked these two heavies on the door, could I speak to the jefe, the chief, the boss? And they said, what for? I said, I'd just like to have a little chat. Anyway, they said, yeah, all right, and they kind of dismissed me. A few days later, I was just coming out of the church, locking it up, and they came towards me, these two gentlemen, who were quite big. And I suddenly got fear in my heart. So don't mistake this is not about my courage. But I suddenly, a little thought went through my head, my dad's bigger than their dad. So I went over, and I was charmingly met by the lady, Colombian lady. I said to her, please, could you do something about the people that are coming out from your bar early hours of the morning and wandering around here? We at the church are praying for for this centre. And she was so gracious, I thought she was just wanting to get rid of me. So off I went. Anyway, didn't happen anymore. Now I want to say this too. The brothel opposite got closed. One of the people who owned one of those bars and her husband got saved. I baptised them. So I want to say to you, abuelitos and abuelitas, we're not redundant. The power of those warriors that I had the privilege to pray with, I saw the working of God right in your face, spiritual warfare, which is what we've been, it's been really well presented to me this morning. Really moved me, Graham. Bless you, brother. And we're not redundant, are we oldies? Are we? No. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, Mark. I don't know about you, but I've been really challenged this morning about the togetherness of prayer, that God is calling us as a church to pray together. And I just loved Graham's description of what prayer means, about moving towards, about a sense of closeness and our call to yield to our God. I wonder if that's our desire as a church. If you're in and you have that desire that we as a church move closer towards God, that we as a church sense his closeness, that we as a church may be called to yield and sacrifice. If you're in, I want to invite you, Andrew's going to start playing this beautiful song of response. If we will stand together and say, yes, we're in. We want to be part of this call that we have had so clearly this morning to pray together. This isn't about us as individuals right now. This is a call for us to pray together. And what that looks like, we're coming to the end of 2024. Let's make 2025 the year of prayer. How can we be a people who pray and see what Mark's just shared with us? Is that challenge on your heart this morning? If it is, can I invite you to stand as a way of response now and show God, show each other that we're serious about this. Together we long to move closer together to God. We long to know more of his closeness. We long to yield to him. And we can only do that as we pray together and as we search God together. This song is a personal response. I wonder, we might want to turn it into a corporate response and change the words to we where we can. I'll leave that to Julie and Andrew to lead us in that.